Rules for Healthy Living. Further instructions. Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven. Devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us. 2, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may provide it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, and that you may know how to answer everyone. Titus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant of the Lord. I am sending him to you for express purposes, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may be encourage your hearts. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoners, Artitus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. You have received instructions from him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Jesus, also sends greetings. These are only Jews among you, my fellow workers, for the kingdom of God, and they have provided a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He always wrestles in prayer for you, that he may stand firm in all that will of God, mature and faithful, assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you, and that those at Laodicea and Harpasus, our dear friends, Luke, the doctor, and Demas of greetings. Give me my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Memphis, the church of our house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it is also read in church of the Laodiceans, and that you in turn turn to the letter from Laodicea. Tell Archippus, see that it is you, complete the work that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hands. Remember my change. Grace be with you.
Thank you, Helen. That was beautiful. Yes, it was. Thank you. It was very beautiful. Right, as we continue looking through the prison epistles, and today I want us to look at the epistle to the Colossians, and I would like to title it Faith Behind Birth, Prayer and Faithfulness. So like I mentioned last Sunday, these epistles written behind bars from the apostle to all these churches, and in the case of Philemon to himself about Onesimus, who is mentioned in the passage today. Even though they have been written in a different sort of time and context, I believe they also provide valuable lessons for the church today if we pay close attention. So, like all the other prison epistles, the apostle wrote these epistle today, as we are looking at the Colossian epistle, around AD 60, while he was under house arrest in Rome, where he was kept under close surveillance. And some people believe that probably he was chained to a soldier while he was in that house, but he was given some level of freedom to receive visitors and to be able to write letters, which was used by the Lord through him to provide comfort and instruction to these churches. So, looking through the book of Colossians, the epistle to the Colossian church, the church in Colossae, which is a city in the Asia Minor, one thing that is different from this epistle, or this church, and the church we looked at last Sunday from the church in Philippi, is that at this time, Paul hadn't visited. He had not visited this church, even himself and Timothy. They were strangers, sort of, to this church, so they had never visited personally, unlike the Philippian people. But he has heard of their faith and of their witness to the Lord, and he ministered to them through what he wrote to them. And it is very likely that Epaphras, who was named also in what we read this morning, was the founder of this church, and also is probably that he had heard the preaching of the apostle elsewhere, especially in maybe in Ephesus, and then he went and be used of the Lord to plant this church. And also, what sort of stood with me, when you look at chapter 1, from verse 1, which is different from the way he introduced himself, like I mentioned last Sunday. He goes on in verse 1, if you have it in your Bible, you know, just flip back to chapter 1, verse 1. He says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God. Colossians chapter 1, an apostle of Christ Jesus. So he wasn't known to them, he wasn't writing to them like the Philippian church, which were known to him personally, but he wanted to introduce himself and also stamp the fact that I am an apostle of the Lord Jesus by the will of God. So I didn't call myself. God called me and placed me here. And Timothy, our brother, to God's holy people in Colossae, the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. And he brings them again this construction. Grace and peace to you from our God and our Father, Jesus Christ. So that was the way he introduced himself and also Timothy, and then brings them the gospel. Then when we also read from the place we read today, from chapter 4, especially from verse 7, all through the greetings and the people he mentioned. This is quite significant because Paul usually uses this construction when he writes to people he had never visited. So in this passage, he brings greetings to the individuals in the church at Colossae. And then this also goes on to demonstrate his deep connection, I believe, and concern for other people. He hadn't seen them. He didn't know them personally, but he was concerned about their welfare, about their growth in Christ, about their spiritual growth. Now, the purpose and the importance of the Colossians is the fact that at that time, there was this false teaching going on in that church. People came along from wherever, bringing in some strange teachings. And while I was reading this, I said, how relevant and also striking that we have in some places today people who bring in some of these strange teachings also in the church. So they denied the deity of Christ. I was some time ago involved in some scriptural reasoning group, and it was surprising to me that some of them who were even Christians were quarreling with the fact that Jesus is God himself. So the deity of Christ could be a struggle. It could be a source of disagreement even today. So this church was infiltrated by this strange teaching. And also, people were now in the place that they wanted to combine everything. It was like a mixed bag. They didn't know what to believe. They brought on the strange teaching, trying to combine it with what they had already known, and this was not good. And so when Paul got wind of this, he decided to write to them to clear it all up, because he was an apostle of Jesus Christ called by the will of God. He wasn't writing this on his own, but he was writing by inspiration of the one who called him. And so he addressed the heresies directly. And that was why he emphasized the preeminence and the supremacy of Christ. So he wanted them to know, this church, to know the fullness of God beyond the distorted view of these false teachers. And also he wanted to show them that the believer has everything that they need in Christ. Praise God. We have everything that we need in Christ. And there are some key themes in this book. And I just want to say, before I go through some of those themes, that Colossians contains one of my favorite passages of Scripture. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, one of my favorite scripture, it says, "For he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." One of my favorites, because he rescued me. He really rescued me from darkness and placed me in the kingdom of Jesus, his Son. Praise God. And I know, as I listened to your testimony this morning, I was just thankful to God how he's able to save us. Yeah, because he's got everything in his hands. And so Jesus is King over all creation. No doubt about that. So the false teaching wanted to play down on the supremacy of Christ, but the apostle writes to this church, stamping the fact that Jesus is King over all creation. And Jesus is preeminent. Jesus is the visible image of God. The key verse in the whole of Colossians is chapter 2, 9 to 10. This is the key thing around the whole of Colossians. If you're writing anything, if you're making any notes, Colossians 2, 9 and 10. It says this, "For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form. And in Christ, you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority." This is the key verse in the whole of the letter to the Colossians. Jesus is King. Jesus is the visible image of God. And it is through Jesus that we have liberation. We are not saved through any other name but the name of Jesus Christ. And as believers in Christ, we are free. We have the freedom in the Messiah, because we are in union with Christ. And so if we are in Christ, we share also in his death, in his resurrection, and in his new life. So he has saved us, and then when we are baptized, that's a sign that we are dead with him. And when we are brought up out of the water, we are risen with Christ. And the life we live now is not our own. It is the Christ that lives in us. Praise God. And so I want you to also look at the structure in the book of Colossians. It can be divided into four divisions. Chapter 1, verse 1 to 23 focuses on Jesus as the head of the new humanity. Chapter 1, from verse 24, all through to chapter 2, verse 5, then addresses the sufferings of Paul while he was in prison and under house arrest. and all other things that he went through because of the name of Jesus. And also in chapter 2, from verse 6 all to verse 23, deal with the cultural pressures that they had in Colossae, because they were like us from everywhere, or different backgrounds and ethnicities and places they've come from. And so, and also in chapter 3 and chapter 4, now Paul provides them examples from Jesus Christ, his self-giving love, as he mentions these names. You know, when we read, mentioning all these names, some of them difficult for us to pronounce, I think God has always a reason for allowing some things he allowed for us to read from his word. Now, Colossians chapter 4, like we read this morning, I believe has got four lessons for us to take home. And I've provided us with a little handout for us when we get home today. Just look through the take-home handout I've provided for us. I believe it provides us with practical wisdom on prayer and grace-filled communication, evangelism opportunities, and building Christian relationships, and in fact, the fact that we have to be people of fairness and justice. So, written to this church, but I believe also relevant for us today. Verse 1 says, "Masters, provide your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a master in heaven." While it was okay for them during that time to have slaves and servants, I want us to look at it differently today. We might be leaders in some places, in the church, at home, as parents, grandparents. We are encouraged to treat people with fairness and justice, whoever they are, whatever level they are. So as parents, as managers, as leaders in the church, as you know, where we work, let's be reminded that we also have a master in heaven who looks after us. So we should treat people how we wish that the master in heaven would treat us. And he goes on in verse 2 to verse 4 saying, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for whom I am in chains. Pray that I may also proclaim it clearly as I should." So he encouraged the church in Colossae to remain devoted to prayer, and also to be watchful and thankful. The same goes for us today. And we should also devote time for personal prayers and corporate prayers, because we cannot go any further, any headway without prayer. Prayer is what keeps us moving. And also in verse 5 and 6, there was this encouragement for wisdom. "Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace." Conversation there is our conduct. It's another word for conduct. "Let your conversation be always full of grace. Let how you relate with people be always full of grace. Because most times you are the only Bible or scripture that people will get to read, seasoned with salt, so that you may also know how to answer everyone." You know, I always ask God to help me that what I say will always be filled with the grace of God, so that when I answer, when I talk to people, that they will see Christ in what I say. Yesterday we were having a little Bible study. I do that from time to time with my children, and I was encouraging them, You don't have to go in school, you know, shouting the name of Christ, you know, but from what you do, through what you do, people might get to know Christ. Even while you pray and say the grace before you have your lunch, people might look at you and say, there's something different with this other chap. And they will maybe want to inquire from you, what is it that makes you to, you know, say your prayers or do what you do or say what you say? May God help us wherever we find ourselves, while shopping, while driving, while out there on the streets, you know, while taking a walk, wherever we are, what we say and how we carry ourselves. May the Lord use these things to attract others to Jesus Christ. And then the long list that the apostle brings with greetings and encouragement. I was really struck with the mention of some of these people and what they stood for in the life of the apostle and also in the life of the church in Colossae. Tychicus will tell you all the news about me. He is a dear brother, a faithful minister, and fellow servant in the Lord. As you read through, you read 10 people that he mentions, right? So when you get home today, just read again these 10 people, what they stood for, what they did for him, and also what they are doing. Why did he mention each one of them when he mentioned them? Verse 8 says, I am sending him to you for the express purpose that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your heart. He is coming with Onesimus, our faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you everything that is happening here. My fellow prisoner Aristarchus sends you his greetings, as does Mark, the cousin of Barnabas. They have received instructions about him. If he comes to you, welcome him. Jesus, who is called Justus, also sends his greetings. These are the only Jews among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have proved a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Jesus Christ, sends greetings. He is always resting in prayer for you, that you may stand firm in all the will of God, mature and fully assured. I vouch for him that he is working hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Dear friend Luke, the doctor, and Demas send greetings. Give my greetings to the brothers and sisters at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. She even hosted a church in her house. After this letter has been read to you, see that it's also read in the church at Laodicea, and that you'll also read the letter from Laodicea. Before I finish with 17 and 18, this is something also different from the letter to the Philippians. The epistle to the Philippians was only addressed to that church. Remember, it's a personal letter to them. But the other epistles, like this one and also Ephesians, were for general circulation. So they read it in Colossae, and now he's advising them to also read it. And some scholars say Laodicea is another name for Ephesus, right? So read it also in Ephesus, and also bring the one from Ephesus and read here also. But Ephesians, you have to read this for yourself because it's personal to you. I'm addressing you. But because at that time, maybe some of the issues here and the problems were also in the other places. So it was relevant for them, and he believed also he could also minister to these people. Tell Archippus. Archippus was a prisoner with Paul, but he was also a soldier at some point. He had received Christ and then given a message and called to serve Christ. And so he's now asking them, tell him, see that you complete the ministry that you have received in the Lord. These people were different. They were from various places, yet something held them together. They are witness for Christ. This guy was a soldier, Archippus, but he has been saved and called to be a minister of Christ. And then Paul does what he does, and sometimes after writing also, sometimes when someone helps him to write, he ends it making sure for them to know that I have either written the whole or I have dictated for someone, but I have appended my signature to what I have written. So in this case, after Timothy had helped him, he now comes out to sign the greetings by himself to make sure they know this is actually from me. I, Paul, write you this greeting in my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. So when you listen to this being read, you ask yourself, why mentioning all these people, like I said? It was probably Tychicus who brought this letter to the Colossian church and also took the one to Ephesus. And we remember Onesimus, who was the one that Paul defended when he wrote to Philemon. And he traveled with Tychicus also to bring this letter. So it was Tychicus and Onesimus that brought this letter to them. And so, like I mentioned, Aristarchus was a fellow prisoner. He's also mentioned in Philemon. He's a citizen of Thessalonica. And Mark separated from Paul at some point and joined his cousin Barnabas. But that didn't make Paul not to mention him, because no matter what route you've chosen, we are all in Christ and we are all laboring. Whether you're in Circle Family Church, whether you're in URC The Grange, whether you're in St. Mark's, we're all laboring for Christ, no matter where we serve him. Jesus, who is called Justice, and Epaphras, who I believe founded the church, he was a convert of Paul. And then Luke, who was the doctor who wrote the Gospel of Luke and also the Acts of the Apostles. And I don't know if you remember, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul mentions Demas at a time that he was so interested in the world, and he left Paul for the love of the world. But Paul still mentions him and still holds him there and still prays for him. No matter what, you know, even though we've fallen out with people, even though they don't do what we want, our children or our grandchildren, but they are still family. We still mention them in prayer. We still pray for them. We wish that they will one day meet Jesus wherever they are. So Demas was the one that left Paul at some point. And Nympha hosted this church. Probably she was a very wealthy woman. But if you read other places in the scripture, some scholars are confused about Nympha. In some places, they think she's a man or a man. In some places, they think he's a woman. But I think it's most probably a woman, as mentioned here. Because she hosted a church in her house. She was maybe a wealthy lady who helped others, brought them in, and then gave them roof under their head. And then, like I said, Archippus was a former soldier who was saved. These people from different places. They had different stories, backgrounds, and histories, but they were held together by one thing: their witness for Christ and their faith in the Lord Jesus. So as the body of Christ, though we are many, but we are one body in Christ. We are held together by the love of Jesus Christ. Thank you for helping me out here. And so, yeah, these are the lessons that we can learn, I believe, from the passage today. My prayer is that God will help us, that we will remain fervent in prayer. We might not feel like we are prayer warriors, but whatever prayer we pray, God is the one that answers our prayer. Corporate, personal, we serve a prayer answering God. And like we always say, he answers us in his own way and in his own time. And may the Lord also help us to proclaim the gospel boldly and give us wisdom as we interact with people. And help us to remain strong together, because we are united in Christ. We are a strong fellowship. We might not feel like it, but something I always thank God for about this fellowship is the fact that we hold on together, We look out for one another. We pray for one another. We care for people. We are always trying to pastorally care for other people and also trying to bring our gifts, our differences, different gifts and talents to serve Christ for his glory. It's not about us. It's about him. And I pray that the Lord will help us. We are not behind bars, but whatever situation that we find ourselves in, like Paul, we hold our faith in him and our dedication that nothing will divide us from the Lord. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. And we ask, Lord, that you help us, that we remain faithful to you. Father, we pray, Lord, that you help us as we walk this walk, that we will live out the character traits of those who are in Christ Jesus. We pray, O Lord, that you help us as a fellowship, binding us together with the love of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will continually make your words known to us. Yes, Lord, we believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.